We're getting back to Ephesians. It is cooler in here, isn't it? Yeah, I'm not even going to tell you what they said the problem was. But now it was on. No, it was really an issue. But we're not sure whose fingers, not ours, but whose fingers there, because they said somebody changed the wiring to the pole and then it made our units run backwards. And thankfully they didn't burn up. You know, they didn't, I guess, try to run that often, but we're fixed, and we're thankful to have that. But we're back to Ephesians. We've taken a little bit of a hiatus from it because we had other things that came in between, and we want to get back there. And if you remember, we were really finishing up. We were in the sixth chapter after all the instructions, after all the wonderful things that Paul told us about us and who we are in Christ and all the things that he has done for us. And we've gotten to that point where, you know, he was finally, as in his words, finally, you know, wrapping up that message. So let's look at it for a moment together and read verse 10 of chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put the next verse up, Colin. You can keep going. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Finally, when it all comes together in light of everything that he has told us in this epistle of what God has done for us, even things that he's done, you know, in just in a creation, if you will, as he set all this up, his plan, everything. He says, in light of all of this, there is a battle to fight in the Christian life. For the most part, we know when we're in a fight. For the most part. I've been in situations where somebody was fighting with me and I didn't even know it. You say, well, how that? I'm not talking to everybody. They weren't throwing punches at me, but they were mad and angry and they were waging a fight against me. And I'm like, I got no problem with you. And they're like fighting. And I'm like, okay. We're in a fight in our Christian life, whether we realize it or not. We're in a battle. There is warfare going on all around us, and it impacts us. All the warfare that goes on in the heavenlies impacts us down here in the earthly. And there is a fight going on. And some of us are unengaged, and we're getting knocked around. Paul says there is a battle because we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Literally, he said, strengthen yourselves in the Lord. Every time I hear a phrase like that, and I think we mentioned this when this a couple weeks ago, you know, or a few weeks back when we transitioned, you know, from this part of Ephesians, that I have that thought of David when he was an outlaw and he was fighting, you know, raiding villages and robbing people, and he was on a raid one time, and they came back, and his men came back with him, and their whole village had been wiped out, and they took all their stuff, and they took all their people, all their wives and their children, and the men, David's men, who were really a tough crowd, they wanted to stone David. And David, it says that about David, he said, he went and he strengthened himself in the Lord. He found his strength in the Lord. When he was wiped out, when he figured, I can't go any further, I'm done, he strengthened himself in the Lord. We need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Armor is good. Armor is important. We need it. The Lord wouldn't tell us that we need to have it unless we did need to have it and be able to wear it and use it properly. But before we get to put the armor on, we ourselves have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There's two things in view here: being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and then putting on the armor of God. We need to do both things. They're essential to be equipped. And it is the power, not of your ability to walk this Christian life. It's not in the power of you being able to say, well, let me see, on certain days I feel like I can really conquer this thing and this world and the flesh and the devil. It's not about that. It's about you and I being strong in his power on a regular basis, because we really do not have the power on our own that we need to have to fight this battle. I ask you this morning, do you recognize within yourself, are you strong in the Lord and the power of his might? Soldiers go through basic training before they get their armor, you know? They need to be strong physically. They need to be strong mentally. They need to be well trained and prepared before that armor is given to them, whatever that armor might be that they use. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It doesn't happen just by saying words. I'm going to be strong today in the Lord and the power of his might, so now I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. No, we become strong in the Lord and the power of his might in several different ways, but most importantly by completely realizing, first of all, that we unto ourselves have no strength, and that he has all the strength, and that he has promised to give us everything we need to live this life, this Christian life. And that by faith we begin to access those things. We begin to walk by faith, not by sight. We begin to walk in the power as we allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in us that Jesus promised that he would do, to give us the strength that we need. Again, both mentally and emotionally and physically. And he says here that we need that strength, and we need to be strong in the Lord. And then we need to put on the whole armor to stand against the wiles of the devil. I mean, there are outright assaults on us. And the enemy comes at us like a flood. And then we know we're in a battle, we're in a fight. But there's other times he comes in, and many times it's this way. He comes in subtly. We don't even know we were being attacked. And he comes against us in all different ways. And he has wiles. He has plans. He has schemes. And those schemes are effective. He's been doing this for a long time. And he knows. He's been studying people a long time. And Satan, make no mistake about it, is our adversary. He is not God's adversary. He is a created being. He has nothing when it comes to standing against God. He is a created being. He doesn't have power to stand against the King of Kings. But to us, he is a formidable foe. In fact, left to our own devices, he will beat us every time. And he has schemes. He has plans. And he knows how to implement those plans. He knows how to come at us and how to get things over on us, if you will. So we need the armor of God. We need the armor of God. This word in Greek is actually only used in one other place in the whole New Testament. And it's the time in Luke chapter 11 where Jesus speaks of a strong man who's fully armed, has all his armor on. But that strong man was stripped of his armor when a stronger one came and defeated him. Satan has his strength. Satan has, if you will, his armaments. He has all those things. And he is a strong man compared to us, a stronger man than us. But we have a stronger one. And the Bible tells us that Jesus defeated Satan. He disarmed all the principalities and powers, according to Colossians 2. He disarmed them all. So the strong man, Satan, has the might to defeat us, but there's one who is stronger, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King, who is disarmed and defeated him. But we have to stand in his power, not our own. We have to put on his armor, not our own, so that we are able to stand against all the schemes, all the assaults, all the affronts of the enemy. Because we don't wrestle, verse 12, against flesh and blood. We don't. Yes, the spiritual battles that we fight many times often manifest themselves in the physical, in the earthly. But that's not where they're generated, nor that's where they get their power. They get their power from the principalities of darkness that are real. Daniel is a very interesting book, and it shows us very clearly, and there's other parts of the Bible that show us this too, that there are strongholds and principalities and rulers over nations and kingdoms of this world. Men think we're doing this and that, but they're being driven by forces of darkness. And we cannot stand against that, again, in our own strength. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. We touched on this a few weeks back, but we recognize that Jesus defeated them all. But the battles are still raging here. He's ultimately given us the victory. He ultimately already has disarmed Satan, but Satan still has the opportunity even now to wage warfare against us. So we need the armor of God. So therefore, because of these things, we have to take up the whole armor, not just parts of it. The whole armor that we're able to withstand in the evil day, and when we've done all to stand against every onslaught, we can stand in his power, stand with his armor. We've done everything we can because we've given the Lord the opportunity to clothe us and make us strong in the power of his might. No matter how big, how massive, how wily the opposition is. You can name any opponent, spiritual, demonic opponent, even those that manifest themselves in the flesh against us, which is many times how we look at the fight. I'm fighting this battle here and here, but it's being waged from on high. But it's still for us. It doesn't matter where it comes from. We recognize that this is of the enemy, our enemy of our souls, and we realize that it doesn't matter whether it's a principality or a power or a rule. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it's coming at us from in human, you know, terms. We recognize that we're fighting this fight, and we have to stand. And it does not matter how big or massive the assault is. We're able to stand. I mentioned David a little while ago. David fought many battles in his life. Physical, spiritual. He actually faced a giant one time. Anybody ever hear that story? No, you didn't hear that. David and who? Goliath. The biggest, baddest dude there was at the time. Big dude. I'm not even going to get to see how they say how big he really was. We don't know for sure. But he was a big guy. He was a giant. Not just a big. Saul, King Saul, was bigger than everybody else. And Goliath dwarfed Saul. He faced an actual giant. Now, I want to remind us before I go on a little further. Does anybody here know that the Old Testament is real? Oh, they're looking at me like, what, are you nuts? But do you realize why it was written and given to us? The Bible tells us two places exactly. Why? I got to read them to you because it's important. Because sometimes we look at these stories and we get, oh, that's a nice story. And maybe we see some life principles, but we forget. No, this is God's word. And it's really happened. There really was a Goliath. There really was a David. There really was Israel. There really was the Philistines. You know, there really was the Red Sea. There really was Pharaoh. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things, talking about the Old Testament, the things before, happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So as we live in these latter days, the Bible's clearly telling us in 1 Corinthians that all these things that happened then were given as examples, lessons for us to teach us, to admonish us, to correct us. Romans 15 says it this way, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have a defeated attitude. Right? No? Is it up there? Oh. We might have what? Say it. Thank you. It was lessons that really happened that we could learn from so that we do not walk around knowing that we are defeated, that we have hope. We have hope in the power of His might, in the strength of our Lord, hope of victory, both now and eternally. We have hope. Saul was king, battling against the Philistines. One day or one time period, there was the Philistines on this side and the Israelites on this side, and they're looking at each other and they're all shouting stuff back and forth, but nobody's fighting because there's this one big dude named Goliath, and he offered a challenge and said, "You bring me your biggest and best and we'll go to battle. And whoever wins, and then that will carry the day. One-on-one, we don't all have to fight. You bring me your best, I will take care of him. And whoever wins," Goliath figured, "nobody can beat me." And Israel's looking at him going, "Hey, you go. You can take him. No, no, you go. No, 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 no. Let's just shout at him. Maybe he'll go away. Well, how about the king? He's the biggest one we have." "Yeah, but he looks pretty small compared to that giant." "Where is the king?" "Oh, he's back in his tent." Nobody wanted to face the giant. At this point, David had already been anointed as king, but it's not been announced, and it won't be for a long time. Saul's already in a mess of trouble with God. David's brothers were in the army because the prophet Samuel had told the people, "You really want a king? He's going to take all your boys and put them in the army." So they're in the army. David's out in the field doing what he does. He's a shepherd boy, does stuff. He's still working at home with dad. He's young. He's not ready for the army yet. He's a young kid. He comes one day because his father wanted food to be sent to his brothers and to other the troops, and he comes there and he hears and sees everything is going on. He goes, "What the heck's going on here? Oh, the giant. Yeah, what about him? What about the giant? Well, he's saying this thing. Who is this guy, this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this guy? You guys are worried about him? I'll go fight him." And they're probably looking at you like, "Oh, come on, kid. Our whole army, 10 men don't want to fight this guy. You're going to go fight? You're going to accept his challenge?" Yeah, why not? Why not? Saul hears about this and calls him over and says, "Yo, kid, what's up here? I'll go fight him." Obviously, I'm summarizing the story. I would hope you read it for yourself later. Even if you've read it recently, read it again. "I'll do it. I'll do it." Saul's kind of like, "Well, nobody else wants to do it. I guess this kid can go out and fight him." Well, listen, son, before you go out, I want you to put on my armor. At least you'll have some protection against the giant." David puts the armor on and he kind of moves around and he goes, "Nah." It probably didn't fit right because Saul was bigger than everybody else, but also David never trained in the armor. He never had this kind of armor. He's not a soldier. In fact, probably very few of the people in Israel actually had armor. Saul had it because he was the king. So most of these guys never trained on him. So David puts it on and is like, "You know, I can't. No, I don't want this. I don't need this." So 1 Samuel, I'm just going to read it real quickly, 17, 38 and 39 says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them.' And David put them off him." I'm not going to talk about the actual parts of the armor of God that we are to put on today. But I want to ask us a question. One, do you believe you need armor to fight the battle? And two, if you believe you need armor, whose or what kind of armor are you wearing? See, that's an important thing. We all know we need something because we know we can't do it. And we figure, well, we want to put on some armor. We got to protect ourselves against all these things that I'm dealing with. But whose armor did you put on? Whose armor are you wearing? Here's a young kid who was not even in the army. And all of the army was sitting there frozen in fear. Even if they had the opportunity, if they wanted to go, for even Saul to say to them, because David had some brothers, and one of them, for sure, was a really big guy, maybe close to big as Saul, who could have worn that armor. And they're like, nah, I don't want to do this. But here's this kid who's not part of the army. He's a young shepherd boy. He's a young shepherd boy who has been in the wilderness. And as he's been in the wilderness, he has learned in the wilderness by himself, taking care of his dad's sheep and all the flocks, how to handle himself, but not just because he was quick on his feet or he was maybe good with, you know, this or that or other thing. No, he learned to trust the Lord. How do we know this? Well, he's going to come out in this text in later, but he says, you know, when I was in the field, one time a lion came out. One time a bear came out, and I just beat him. Well, guess what? He knew he didn't do that on his own. He knew that he was no match for a lion. But he said, I beat him. Because he knew whom he trusted in. He knew that it was not his strength, but God's strength. He said, well, if I could do that to those and God can protect me here, he could protect me against some dude. I don't care how big he is. I don't care what he's saying. I don't care how sure he is that he's going to mop the floor with me. No, I can take him. But Saul says, kid, you need something. You need something. See, we have to be careful to watch what we're putting on or what people tell us that we have to put on. Because we hear all the time, well, you need this and that to get the job done. You know, even when we become Christians, we have a lot of people, and many of them are well-meaning, but they come alongside us and they begin to tell us all the things that they think that we need to do so that we can walk this Christian walk. And a lot of it is just earthly wisdom that's kind of wrapped around with some Bible verses. David knew needed armor. And Saul said, kid, you need armor. But Saul wanted to put the wrong kind of armor on David. He just wanted to take care of the physical stuff. I don't even know why, by the way, Saul wanted to put armor on David. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I could think of a few things, and we're just surmising. Maybe he just felt bad for him. And he says, this kid's going to get killed, so maybe you give him like a, you know, a shooting chance. At least, you know, he has something to help him out. And maybe he also figured this way. Well, you know what? This kid's going to get mopped up. If I give him the armor, then the people will say, well, at least Saul did everything, because Saul was all about what people thought of him, you know. He said, maybe Saul at least helped the kid out, you know. And maybe Saul will think, well, maybe I can sleep better at night knowing that I gave the kid something, you know. Or maybe Saul thought, maybe this kid could do something, and if he's wearing my armor, then the people will say, oh, it's because he was wearing Saul's armor that he got the job done. Who knows? I don't know why. But Saul says, wear my armor, and David says, no. No. See, for Saul, in some ways that we know, Saul started out very humbly, and by the way, we're teaching through 1 Samuel on Thursday night's Bible study, which you guys can zoom in anytime you'd like. But we're learning that Saul started out with humility and we didn't want to be the center of attention. And God gave him and his anointing everything he needed to be the king. All he had to do was humble himself before God and follow Samuel's instructions and follow God. But he wouldn't do this. And we see Saul begin to change from this man who was, you know, not trusting or began to trust in himself and the fact that he was the king and that he wanted all the attention onto him. That's why later later, if you know in 1 Samuel, when David becomes part of Saul's army, a captain in his army, and he's getting more victories than Saul, the people start saying, you know, David, you know, his tens of thousands, and Saul gets jealous. Because Saul wanted the glory. We find out something about David. David wasn't always a good man, but David wanted one thing. He wanted God to get the glory. He knew that his strength was relying on the Lord and the power of his might. He knew that regardless of what Saul wanted to give him to help him out, he was wise enough to know, no, I don't need this, Saul. I don't really want this, Saul. In fact, Saul, this is going to trip me up and mess me up. Lord, I trusted the Lord and I have fought the bear and the lion. I want to go out. Thanks, but no thanks. You know, it took a little guts to say no to Saul. It did. I mean, here's the king. Wear my armor. Nah. You know, Saul, when he probably wore the armor, again, being a big, all good-looking guy, he probably strutted around and, you know, I'm the king. It's good to be the king. David's, nah, I don't need that. I don't need it. David didn't say this, but, you know, I don't need your stuff. I don't need your junk. In fact, I want to remind us of something, too. David was very wise not to trust Saul's armor, because he would have been leaning on the power of man. He would have been leaning on the power of human strength. And we know something about Saul's armor. Later, there was an arrow shot and it got Saul in between the armor. His armor had holes in it. As good as it may have been in the battles here and there, it still had holes in it. Saul ended up dying, probably wearing that armor, because his armor was only an armor of the flesh, not the armor of God. David went out, said, I don't need it. I don't need it. Whatever you and I are facing, there's always going to be something of this world that somebody, including yourself, is going to say, I need this to win this fight. It may be your intellect. It may be your money. It may be your connections. It may be your savvy. It may be your charm or your good look. You're always going to think, this is what's going to carry the day. And I'm going to tell you something. That may get you in and out of certain things once in a while, but you are never going to win the battles that we need to win, the spiritual battles against the enemy that we fight against the principalities and powers of darkness with all their wiles and all their schemes and all the giants they throw against us. We are never going to win this battle with those human elements of armor. No matter how good they look, no matter how other people say, oh, I've used that before and it worked well for me, it's not going to work. So he goes out, David. You know the story. Goliath sees this boy coming. And, you know, David didn't even do anything. He didn't even take a sword. What did he take? Stick and sling, a walking stick and a sling and some stones. That's all. Remember, Goliath sees him coming. He sees a kid coming, a young boy. He says, what am I, a dog that you come at me with sticks? And he begins to curse David with his gods, you know, the gods of the Philistines. He begins to curse David with the gods. He says, come at me and I'll give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. He says to David, you don't stand a chance. And that's what the world tells us. That's what the enemy wants us to believe, that we do not stand a chance, that there's nothing that we can do to win the fight, that we are defeated. And when we put on our own armor and the armor of things that we think we knew that will insulate us and help to carry the day, we are going to find out that that armor will fail miserably. And then the giants begin to mock and they begin to laugh even more so at us. David heard his laughter and his mocking. And David said to Goliath, verse 45 of chapter 17, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. Satan comes and says, you lost. You're a loser. Every time you try to live as a Christian, you mess up. You fail. You fall down again and again and again. Why bother? Why do you even go to church? Why do you even hang around with those losers? Why do you even read your Bible? Why do you pray? What do you think that's going to do good for you? Well, if you're just reading the Bible to read it, and if you're just praying words without faith, and if you're just going to church to say, well, I've given here, I feel bad if I don't go, you know, yeah, then it's not going to do much for you, because those things which are good for us to do, which people say we must do, if those things are just human armaments to say, oh, well, read your Bible every day, which is good, but if you're just reading it to say, well, if I read it every day, then magically something will come upon me. No, we read the Word of God because the Word of God is powerful, and the power of the Holy Spirit, when we take it by faith, builds us up and makes us strong in the power of his might. So we learn to stand in grace because we need grace. We learn to stand in the gospel, the word of God, the power of our salvation. We stand in the strength and the courage that God would give us to face any giant. We stand in faith. We stand in Christian liberty. We stand in Christian unity with our God. We stand with the Lord our God, knowing that he sees us as perfect and complete. And when we stand in the power of his might, with the armor, his armor on us every day, we find ourselves victorious. Oh, the enemy will get blows here and there. He'll knock us down. That we think we're going to wobble, we're going to fall. But when you're standing in the strength of his might and the power of his armor, you will never fall. We're going to be attacked, but we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to droop and cower and slouch and say, oh my, the battle is lost. The enemy's too big. No. It means that we could stand in his strength and his power, alert and at attention. No returning back, no retreating, no running, no breaking ranks and running away. Oh, the enemy's too strong. We stand. We've done everything to stand in the power of his might. We stand. And when he comes at us, we have the word of God, our sword. And when he says to us the lies, we say no. Jesus says. And we claim the promises of God. Whose armor are you wearing? What armor are you wearing? If it's not God's armor, you're going to lose. Hear me out as we close up. And worship team, you guys can come up. And we're going to get ready for communion. We're going to sit at the Lord's table. If you're trusting in just the elements themselves, do you understand? That can become a false armor. If you're trusting in just the elements themselves, we see the bread that represents his body broken. We see the cup that represents his blood that was shed. If we do this as just a ritual, if we do this as just a thing, if we do not take this to ourselves in faith, believing and trusting everything that he's done for us. Remember, Jesus disarmed Satan and all the principalities and powers. Why? Because in his great love for us, when we in our own way, using our own armor, failed miserably and were on our way to hell, he said, I love you so much that I'll give my life in your place. And in doing so, the enemy said, we got him now. And the enemy didn't realize that his skull was being crushed and his hold on us was broken. And he disarmed all the principalities and powers. And we have been set free to live this life victorious, standing in the power of his might with his armor. So our brothers are going to distribute both elements as they pass by, both the bread and the wine, or the grape juice. And when they do so, our brother Jack will come back at the end and pray for us. But I want to, as they distribute and as we hear the music and we listen, I want us to search our hearts today and ask the Lord to reveal to you, what armor are you wearing? And as we come to the Lord's table, say, Lord, I don't want to trust in anything or anyone else but you. I want to stand in your power, in your might, with your armor, so that I may be victorious and that you might be glorified.